So this morning, I'm in search of a good question, and I'd like you to help me. So questioning, there was once upon a time, a man who wanted to become a Zen monk. And so he went to the local Zen monastery and asked if he can come in. And the abbot there said, "Oh, what's your question?" And he said, "Well, I don't have one." So he sent him away. Mm-hmm. This monastery is not right for you. And so then he went to another monastery and said, "I'd like to come be a monk here." And the abbot asked him, "Well, what's your question?" And he kind of mumbled something about, "Well, you know, I'm here to get enlightened." So he sent them away. He went to another monastery. "I'm here to ordain and be, and what's your question?" And he didn't have the question. And so finally he understood that in order to get into the monastery, you had to have a question. So in order to get into practice, Buddhist practice, I think it's helpful to have this idea of a question. What's your question? The idea of spiritual search or spiritual questing, having a question as part of it. And there's something very profound about the capacity to ask questions. It's also something quite annoying if you have a young child. It doesn't stop asking questions. But it's also something quite beautiful and shouldn't be curtailed too easily. When I was 14, I went to a boarding school high up in the Alps. It was a beautiful place. And I was walking down the road one day with an older friend of mine. He was 17. And I was just in awe of the snow-capped mountains and this beautiful green rolling mountainside, hillside going down, and the valley below, and blue sky. Just awesome. And in that sense of awesomeness, I asked, not really expecting an answer even, but I asked, "What are we here for?" And my friend said something like, that's silly, don't be silly. And something inside of me closed. And it took years for that little part of me to open again. Because, that sense of wonder, that sense of wondering, questioning, what's this all about? What is this? Somehow was embarrassed or, was reprimanded and closed up. I have a question. So when I review my practice life, I had a series of questions that were important for me various times. One of the first kind of questions that really interested me personally in terms of getting involved in Buddhism was the question of violence and trying to understand violence and the nature of it. And it was a little bit academic or intellectual perhaps, but what is this violence? What is it that prompts people to be violent? What is that about? And what are the ways maybe to overcome violence? And then I had this wonderful period of solitude for a week once. I'd never spent time alone before. Spent time alone in a rural place. And never didn't talk to anyone for a week. And it was... I was quite ecstatic. It was quite very profound, very transformative time to be alone that way. It's kind of like being on retreat. And the depth, personal depth that I felt, the sense of intimacy I had with the world around me that I experienced, I felt was very, very precious. And when my friends came back to where I was staying, that vanished. And then it became my question for a long time was, how can I be alone together with others? And it wasn't that I was going to be aloof, and hold myself back, but how could I have that sense of intimacy and depth and connection that I felt when I was alone? How could I have that with others and not be overcome by my anxieties or fears or concerns or worries around it have to happen when you socialize with people, you're involved with people? So that was my question for a long time. And then on my way to Zen monastery down in Tassajara, when I was first going to be a monk there, practitioner there, I was in a bookstore, and I pulled down a book from a bookshelf, a spiritual book, and opened it up, just randomly at a page, And the teacher said something like, I hardly remember anymore, but it was something like, basic human problem is that people hold themselves back, from reality somehow. And so I thought that was an interesting statement. So I transformed the question in my mind, and that became one of my questions when I was practicing in the monastery. Was I turned it around 180 degrees, and the question was, how can I participate more fully with what I'm doing? How can I participate here? And some of you, I remember, probably heard me tell a story, my carrot story, of, you know, chopping carrots in the Tassajara kitchen. And my question is, how can I participate more fully with these carrots? You know, chopping them. And I didn't want to be there, right? So so it was an interesting question. And, you know, I wanted to, I was there for enlightenment and great meditation, and I was assigned to the kitchen where you don't meditate so much. And this was not good news. So what did it mean to participate, you know, fully, completely with chopping the carrot as you would be participate fully in your meditation practice? So that was a question I had, you know, how to participate more fully here. Then a driving question I had for a short while, it was actually quite driving for me, brought me back to Asia a second time to practice there, was a question of, you know, what is the self? What's the self? And I had touched something in deep meditation that I called the self, some sense of self. And I was mystified by this. It was like this kind of thing. And I felt really important. It became essential for me to have to go touch that place again, find out what that is. What is that? What is that place? Only, to, in a sense, when I got close to it, it just dissolved. And that was the resolution of it. Not an answer, but rather the dissolving of it. So to ask questions, ask questions means we're open to some new possibility. And often in life, we're not open. Often, I would suggest, as a thesis or as a premise or as a kind of challenge to you, that whenever you're suffering, it's because you haven't asked enough questions. You haven't questioned something, and you might you know, when you find yourself suffering, ask yourself, is there a good question here? What's the right question here? If my suffering arises because I haven't really questioned something, what is it that needs to be questioned here? Sometimes with suffering, we kind of take it for granted. Oh, poor me! This is the way it is. Or we come to all kinds of situations. We have preconceived ideas of how things are supposed to be. But when you have a tendency to ask a question or to have a questioning approach, then you're open to possibilities of what's possible here. And I find this is very valuable for me in personal situations, and either as a teacher or sometimes as a friend to people, there's no shortage of brilliant advice I can give people. Thank you. what I find often is more useful for me to do rather than give advice is to ask good questions, you know, and ask, you know, just sometimes very simple questions, you know, can you tell me more? Well, how do you feel about that? Or what's really going on? Or have you thought about this part of it? Or what was your intention? What's your intention in doing that? What's your hope? What's your aspiration? And in asking questions, sometimes it can facilitate another person to open their mind, open their thinking to new possibilities. Maybe they're stuck in some way, and the asking of questions help unstuck them. And then they discover what's true for them, or they discover some solutions. And generally, if I do it that way, the solutions or the insights that people get are usually much better than my brilliant advice. So it's nice to ask questions. And then there's the questioning behind questioning behind questioning process. And that is, you might ask yourself a question. Like, for example, you could ask yourself, what's my intention in what I'm about to do? And you might have a simple answer. And you say, well, what's the intention behind that? And what's the intention behind that? So, you know, it could be that I'm going to the store today. What's your intention behind that? What's my intention going to the store? To buy Christmas presents. What's your intention behind that? What is it about buying Christmas presents? I want to buy a present for my sister. What is it about? That's a nice intention, but you know, what's the intention behind that? Well, I would like to somehow express my care for her, my love for her, and also to try to do something that would help her in her life. She's one person who has a lot of illness, so I'd like to get some kind of present that actually make her life a little bit easier. So, you know, it starts off with the idea that the intention is to go shopping. Shop until you drop. And then if you kind of keep asking the question, you get to something more and more deeper, something more interesting, something more profound, having to do with love and care and something else. And I think a lot of motivations that people have, whether they're all kinds of things, if you kind of scratch the surface and go deeper and deeper, chances are you'll find something beautiful. At least that's my faith, my belief. So to ask questions, you know, what is it? What's your intention? What's your motivation behind this? And then, of course, there are really bad questions to ask. Maybe bad questions are contextual. They're good sometimes and bad other times. But, you know, sometimes the bad question is like, what's wrong with me? You know, maybe there's better, more helpful ways of stating something like that. Say, you know, what am I attached to here? Or what am I afraid of here? You know, there's ways of asking questions of oneself. But what's wrong with me? Is it that's a given? What happens if you ask the question, what's right with me? And I have friends, I know people, I try to do sometimes, who try to focus on other people and try to see what's good in them. What's really good here? What's beautiful here in this person? With the idea is that if you focus on what's beautiful, that's what gets strengthened or enhanced or developed. Pull that out of them. And sometimes when I know people who you know, might have a mean streak or something, I kind of hope that, my wish, my hope is, let whatever is good flourish, and whatever is not good, let it just kind of atrophy away. Rather than judging the person good or bad, focusing on the these different aspects of them. The Buddha recommended the question, you know, where's the suffering here? If you are suffering, where's the suffering? Where's the clinging in the suffering? And sometimes it's people can be slow in appreciating that they're suffering, or appreciating that they have some personal responsibility for that suffering. And so they might feel kind of burdened or troubled or anxious or something, but it's so outwardly directed. But if you turn the question around, say, rather than asking who's to blame, you can ask the question of, what am I holding on to here? What's my attachment? What's going on here with me? Now, one of the very interesting things about asking questions, I feel, is not necessarily the answer that you bring about, but rather the very act, the process of asking a question, is kind of opens the mind a little bit. Asking a question disentangles us to some degree from the kind of the ways in which the mind is sometimes entangled with our life, our concerns, our worries, our relationships, our work, whatever. And sometimes we can be quite kind of the Velcro with our life can be quite tight. And so to kind of asking questions kind of steps back and maybe tries to get an overview of the situation, tries to be a little bit free of the situation, a little bit independent of it. And so instead of solving a problem, sometimes the whole thing can be resolved by not identifying so tightly with it. So to ask a question, you know, steps back. What is going on here? Just that. What's going on here? You know, you're kind of in some kind of amazing fray with some friends or something, and maybe an argument or something, and suddenly one person's kind of say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? And everyone kind of, oh, you know, there's another kind of way of being here. We don't have to be locked into our struggle here. What's going on here? So there's a way in which asking questions can sometimes kind of reinforce that part of the mind which is independent and or liberated, freed from the world around us, situations, and also for my inner kind of self-identity and inner attachments and freedoms, inner attachments. So to ask a question and find in the questioning, the process of questioning, a way of sets us free a little bit or a lot. So to ask a question. And in Vipassana practice, there is sometimes, you know, you can, all kinds of questions you can ask, but there's one kind of common question, and the question is, what is this? What is this? And kind of, what is this? What's real? What is this really? This, the word this is important. This means here and now, in this present moment. What is this? What is this? And not assuming that you know, even, you know, or kind of go below the surface answers of what you think this is. And there's something very deep and very maturing about just keeping on this question, what is this? What is this? And the very depth of Vipassana practice that can take one all the way to liberation, it can be fueled by just constant asking, what is this? What is this? And not responding to that question with analysis or thinking, but deeper looking. What is this? And looking or sensing or feeling or greater awareness. What is this? And then things become more revealed, more understood, more seen. So there's something very profound about questioning. The Buddha recommended questioning. Many teachers I've known recommended questioning. Oh, there's an interesting question to carry with you that I kind of learned through Zen practice. What's the request in this situation? What's the situation I'm in? What's the request of me here? As opposed to, what can I get out of you? This, what's in it for me? What's the request here? And it could be as simple as, you know, you go home and you see that the dishes are dirty. So the request is to clean the dishes. Oh, that's what the world is requesting right now. What's the world requesting of you at any given time? What's the request? An interesting question, I think. So there's many questions, and I've had many questions in terms of over my practice life. But I don't have a good question today. And this is not good. So it's good to have friends. So I was wondering if you'd be willing to help me out in this. So I was wondering if maybe it would be nice if you guys could break into groups of maybe 4 or 5 and explore together what a really good question would be. And, you know, maybe kind of work it, you know, talk about it, come up with some questions, talk about it. Maybe the process of talking about it, exploring it, offering some questions will help all of you kind of brainstorm to kind of come to, you know, deeper questions or more precise questions. And there might be some of you already know some profound questions and ready to say it, right? And maybe those are most of the ones that stick. But perhaps you say it, but then be open. Is there something even deeper or more personal? You know, you might have some generic spiritual question. Who am I? You've heard that's a good idea, right? To have that as a question. But, you know, maybe, you know, it's kind of abstract. Maybe you read it in the book. So in this exercise of trying to find a really good question, see if it can be something that's really personal for you. Not only what you think I should think. Question I should ask, but is that okay? And then we'll do that for about 10 minutes or so, and then we can regather, and then someone from some of the groups can, if you guys can somehow come to some consensus or close to consensus or something, and offer, you know, me a good question that I can have for today. Is that okay? So please, little groups of 4 or 5. And if you don't want to, you can sit. You're welcome to sit quietly and wait. So now I'm eager to find out what kind of help I'm going to get. So, what kind of questions did you come up with? In the back.
The question we came up with is, how can one remember to be mindful when they get angry?
Great, thank you.
Our group came up with three questions. One was, how can I live an undivided life? Am I resisting anything right now? And is meditation narcissistic? or does it really help, or can it help others?
Thank you. Bud?
Does the meditation practice bring you more in touch with a power greater than yourself, or does it tend to dissolve that connection?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we came up with a final question, but I think I want to mention questions that led us to our question. So one question was about competition. Why is it so often the case that we expect there to be a winner and a loser? And another question was, why is it that our minds sabotage us? why do we trip ourselves up with our minds? And so we had, a lovely discussion about all of this. And the question we ended up with was, why is it so often the case that we are motivated by, or not motivated by, activated by, or led by fear rather than love?
Well, here are a few of our questions. How do I love more unconditionally and less selectively, while at the same time guarding against dangers? And a very similar question, how do I listen more openly without prejudgment, that is, with beginner's mind? What are my motivations for acting and thinking the way I do? If I peel away the layers, what will I find? What impulses in me will I discover? Do our teachers really know anything? Are they really? are they really more realized than we are? And finally,
they're just more questioning.
And then finally, what is the ultimate question?
We also had an interesting conversation concerning issues of life and death. And the final question that we arrived at is, what does it mean to have a life well lived?
I'll go ahead. Well, our group talked about suffering, and the first question was, what is our relationship to suffering, and when is it the time to look at it, and when is it the time to ignore it? And then the second question was, when we talked a little bit about suffering being clinging, and that the answer is release, is, well, how do you release? For me, at least, anyway, it was this, intellectually, I understand it, but emotionally, I don't know how to do it.
Well, after our discussion, we came up with the following question. Does the question have to be profound in order to be helpful?
The three of us in my group, we all have children, and so the question for us, well, we started investigating the idea of questioning our children, asking them, what is this? Because so often they're just emoting all over the place, and we're trying to deal with it. And so, you know, it might be a really, you know, revolutionary idea to ask them, what is this? And get them to start practicing that, you know.
Nice. Back.
A second question from our group. When death comes for me, what will be my relationship with myself? What do I want for my relationship with others? And what do I want for my relationship with death?
So our group ended with the question of when is questioning helpful versus when is it just sort of endless spinning around and around?
We talked a lot about what am I here for? And so that moves into who am I, what am I? And that kind of ends in if there is some concept of reincarnation, that something goes from one body to another, one life to another, what is it about me as an individual that is in fact reincarnated, that moves from one life to another?
Thank you. Over here, you can pass the mic this way.
Well, our group was fascinated with a lot of related questions that kind of eventually became, how do we step out of the continual process of judgment, ourselves and others, that stops us from being present in relationship with others and ourselves?
Thank you. Behind you.
I'll go first. Yeah, our group had four people and we had four different questions. We had a central theme, I guess. It's how can I remove the obstructions that prevents me from understanding what I'm supposed to learn from the experiences? That's a summary I just made up, so I hope the other group members don't disagree.
Thank you.
In our group, one question was, how is it that some people seem more resilient in life than others? And another question was, in any given situation, how can we act in the most appropriate way? And finally, the question, how can we be more peaceful with the ultimate mystery of questions that we can't answer?
My question was, can asking the right questions lead to unlocking and resolving physical ailments that we have? And knowing if we keep asking the right questions or keep going in deeper and deeper into the questions, like you were talking about buying the gift, will we ever be able to unlock those, the cause of our physical problems?
Thank you. Okay.
He doesn't want to ask his question.
Okay. Well, I think it's, I just like the feeling of questions being asked, the feeling of kind of just, not exactly the light bulbs going off in the head, but it's kind of like new possibilities, kind of new doors being opened. Oh yeah, look at something in a new, fresh way. Or oh yeah, that would be profound. Just any of those questions, if you live with them for quite a while and really work them, I think would take you quite far. Sometimes it's nice to live with a question for a long time, and don't just settle for one answer, and just keep asking and asking and seeing what comes up. Ask your friends, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And explore it and really let a question kind of come more and more alive for you and carry you. In Korean Zen, they have these koans, which sometimes Zen students are given. And my understanding in Korean Zen, you're given one question for your life. In Japanese, you're often given a whole series of them, different times, but in Korea, just, you have this one question, it's your question. And so hopefully it's a good one. And so I hope that this morning's given you some idea of the value of questioning, and that maybe you go forth today with a greater willingness to inquire, to ask, to explore, to question what's going on. And in doing that, I hope that it makes you happier.
So the question is, did you get your question?
10 times over. Thank you very much.